By 4800 BC, banned Keramic people were living in the Netherlands and Belgium, and as far east as the Dnieper Valley in the Ukraine, where mammoth hunters had once dwelt. And what was the effect on the indigenous population? What about the Mesolithic hunter-gatherers who had lived there since the late Ice Age, the indigenous inhabitants of Europe? This banned Keramic expansion resulted in continual interactions between these ancient indigenous peoples, the bands scattered by lakes and rivers, and the newly settled Mesolithic farmers, Neolithic farmers, who lived in one spot for longer periods of time. We don't really know what these interactions are, but we can make a number of assumptions. Firstly, Mesolithic groups were well aware of agriculture and animal herding. But many of them did not choose to take it up. Why should they? It's the same old game of the strategy. They had enough to eat. In southwestern Asia, people began by adopting the strategy of planting. There was no point in adopting this strategy. For example, Australian Aborigines are well aware in northern Australia that New Guinea people cultivate a few miles away. But they don't do it. There's no need to. But it may be that some of these Mesolithic people incorporated some aspects of farming culture into their lives. Because they realized only too well, and this is well documented from studies of hunter-gatherer societies, is that agriculture is far harder work than hunting and gathering. There's less leisure, which is a little-known consequence of food production. Many of them, however, did take up some form of herding goats and sheep. Why? These animals provided a reliable food source during the winter months. We can't say much more than that, because a complex process of migration, interaction, and assimilation resulted in the eventual spread of farming among all ancient hunter-gatherer societies in Europe, even into the Mesolithic societies in Scandinavia, along Baltic shores, who adopted agriculture as late as 3500 BC. Of course, up there, the growing season is much shorter. The climate was more severe. But finally, it took hold. But it didn't take hold by people saying, as I said, with other peoples, let's go to America tomorrow, let's go to Belgium tomorrow. It was the process, the end product of generations of people doing their farming thing, living on carefully selected lighter soils. Banned Keramic settlement, if plotted on a map, is very much limited to these carefully selected lighter soils, to communities who settled in the same place for long periods of time. In these communities, each household fed itself. But thanks to the mechanisms of kin and the reciprocal obligations between these kin groups, larger groups of people cooperated on large projects like clearing forests or building longhouses. Society was more complex, but everything still basically worked at the household and community level. It's interesting that many of the graves of banned Keramic folk, the most richly decorated ones, are those of women. People who lived in longhouses and commonly associated in modern farming groups with kin groups that traced their descent through the female line. Some archaeologists believe that women may have had high status in banned Keramic society, even if political power and social authority resided, as it had in many hunter-gatherer societies, in older men with experience. And now, with cattle involved, and cattle are a form of wealth on the hoof, these men may have had wealth in the form of cattle they owned, and may also have controlled trade. But women seem to have had a pretty powerful role in this society.